It's Friday, September 5th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 350 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 30 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
My name is Pat.
And this is Chris.
All right. So first off, obviously, I've got hosts back, which is a good thing. I want to thank those of you that sent me such supportive messages about my solo episode. And if I got to fly solo again, then that's what I'll do. But I prefer having other hosts here for the whole, you know, discussion thing that Fear the Boot's built around. So that's what we're going to go with.
How did you go through all of that without Pat making a sex joke?
From beyond the grave.
There's an obvious
answer. Had five of them. Literally, I thought of five in that whole conversation. I'm just like, yeah, I'm not supposed to talk about it. And you said before we got on the mics, not talk about it. So fine, I'm not.
So, Chris, do you know what episode you're on right now?
I have absolutely no idea what episode
you don't
I'm
know.
On
All right now. What I will tell you.
After your own verbal masturbation last week, I'm totally now just lost.
In this household, we work for our Fear the Boot. We don't just give it away.
I'm going to say it's Tree Fitty.
That's right. We have made it to an important mile mark to episode Tree Fitty. You're listening.
Tree Fitty.
Did I ever tell you crackers about the time Dan recorded 350 episodes of Fear the Boot?
Tree Fitty.
Damn it, Loch Ness Monster. All right. So, Chris, since you actually are from the Paleolithic era,
Paleozoic era.
Oh, I thought I said Paleolithic, even though that's like
real. You know, I think he said a couple of different ones, to be quite honest.
But
with
I think like most of them were not real ages. He was making up words. But anyways, so yes, since you actually are ancient beyond man, go ahead. What's your announcement?
We have a user on the forums, goes by the name of Useless Trivia Man, and in the moving pictures thread in the forums, he began kind of making a list of greatest comedy movies of all time. It's kind of ballooned into this massive 256 list film bracket that he is now actually separated by era, 50s, 60s, 70s, and so on, and has actually started the head-to-head matchups of the bracket. One, this is good material to, you know, just kind of have nerd wanks on about which movie is funnier than which other movie, but at the same time, he put this much time and effort into it. I see no reason why you shouldn't go there and cast your useless vote for which movie you think is the best. So it's in the moving pictures thread. I'm sure Dan will be more than happy to link it.
For those of you not from Minnesota, that's moving pictures. They're not like drink containers wandering around amongst each other, which would be
films, flicks.
Yeah, I know I voted in all of the round ones where I actually knew the movies involved, even though I'm pained to say my beloved Hudson Hawk did not make the 256 list.
Oh, no.
I'll have to go check out the list because I'm going to be hit or miss because for the past several years, I've been seeing a lot of movies. That's one of the things Carl and I have in common. So we see, I mean, literally a dozen or more movies every year in the theaters, plus some at home. But growing up, I did not watch a whole lot of movies. So there's a lot of movies I haven't seen. Well,
and these go all the way back to, I think the earliest bracket was the 60s.
Yeah, that's a good chance.
I think, it sounds about right.
I'm probably anything shy of about 2008. I've probably not seen. But hey, you know, I'll see, we'll take a look at it. All right, so let's get down to it, Waynard. GM perception, self-perception.
So I have really low self-esteem, and when I run games, I generally am worried about what people are thinking as I'm running it. So in particular, one of the issues I know I've constantly had is I'll present a bad guy. You know, he'll at least be a antagonist, we'll put it that way. And he'll have plots. And he'll occasionally outsmart the players. And the whole time in my mind, I'm going through, do they think I just made a Baron von Badass? Do they think that this character is ungettable? Because they can get him. He just is intelligent and outsmarting them. I'm not putting him on a pedestal, really. You can get him. Plan a little bit.
You know, I know I got made fun of for this. I don't remember by whom, otherwise I'd call him out. But one of their hosts made fun of me for the fact that I fall back. It's probably John, because he's all snarky all the time. But that I always fall back to, it's right here in my notes. But you know, the point of that is that it's my way of saying he's not a Baron von Badass. I wrote out his plan, which means because I've set in concrete what this plan is, it's breakable. It's not infinitely malleable. I've said he's going to be here at this time doing this, which will create this appearance, which if you guys follow the path I expect you to, you'll fall for. But at the same time, I have a line here that I myself have to follow. And if you go against that, I'm a firm believer, I'll give it to you fair and square.
Well, and that's my thing, is I never retcon anything when it comes to the plans. Just because something came out during the course of gameplay, I'm not going to change where the, you know, the NPC was going to have been. And I've never once had a player accuse me of having a Baron von Badass or of anything like that. But I know, for me, I am always afraid it's coming off like that. And I don't know if that's just an issue that I have, or if that's an issue that other GMs struggle with too, that they're worried about how their GMing is coming off to the players. Because I don't want to demoralize them. I want to play fair, and I want everyone to realize I'm playing fair, I guess is the best way to put it.
But I would think, Wayne, I would think that as you're watching, you know, this situation unfold, you know, you can kind of gauge the players' reactions to what's going on. I mean, you can kind of either see, because you can always tell the difference between in-game enjoyment frustration and actual player frustration with what's going on. I mean, you should be able to kind of read that. So that should kind of give you, I understand totally what you're saying, but you should be able to kind of see those signs and kind of get that, almost that instant feedback as to what the players are perceiving in that situation. Now, that doesn't necessarily change your, it doesn't change your mood.
What do you do if you perceive that it is being seen as a Baron von Badass character?
You're highly perceptive, Wayne. Your NPC, you're an asshole, and I just haven't been telling you because I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you know what, it's beyond that now. F*** you, and f*** your Baron von Badass. That's all I have to say for this episode.
Wow.
Peace out. Mic drop. No, I, you know, I hope that you don't perceive it that way, and we've talked a little bit about this after the game. I was not really aware of that myself. I don't think that that perception is out there for this particular enemy. I think we're just in the plot line that we're in. We're just at the moment sort of trying to figure out where to go with him. I know that personally myself, my feelings on this have been, we're kind of going along the storyline here. We're gathering information at this point in the story. Just as far as I'm concerned, we're sort of building up to some confrontations with him. We have had some, and we're going to hit it. I didn't think we were quite there yet. We're still gathering information, going to figure out what's going on, trying to figure out the best way to approach it. Our recent games, our recent sessions have sort of forced the issue a little bit because Chad went on a rampage and just sort of did what trolls do, and that's smash things.
For the record, for anyone that doesn't know, Chad is actually playing a troll.
Yes.
You passed that calling him a troll.
Chad's, oh, I'm calling him a troll.
Is a troll.
Chad is a troll. He is definitely a troll, but he plays one on TV too. Anyway, and it's okay. I can say whatever the fuck I want about Chad because he doesn't listen to this shit. So, fuck you, Chad.
But it's something not just with this.
Hey, I'm back,
game.
Guys. I've been away for a while.
Pat's here bringing the bleep.
I just,
yeah, really.
I know you guys have been, you've been missing it, and here it is again. And I don't want to disappoint.
Well, it's not just something with the current game. It's something I've always struggled with. Every time I'm running a game, I always have to find that balance of, am I making my villain too smart because I know what the players are going to do? How are they seeing the villain? Do they see it as a challenge, or do they see it as I'm stringing them along? And how do you get over that as someone who GMs as long as you have?
Yeah, I'm holding off here because I'm prepared to go on a tear. So,
okay.
Well, Chris, and you let go me give ahead. You, then before you go on your tear, Wayne, if I had to give you an actual piece of advice for that kind of thing, if the ultimate fate of this NPC that they're having trouble overcoming is that he is going to eventually be defeated, if that is indeed this NPC's ultimate fate, then I would embrace that frustration. And I would not, don't let it affect, don't let it change a single thing about what you're doing, because from a player standpoint, when they finally actually do beat that guy, that level of satisfaction and then pleasure towards what good job that you did as a GM is going to be even higher than what it would be if they beat him two encounters earlier, or two sessions earlier. It's a delayed gratification thing. You know, they may want it really bad at that particular time, but if they don't get it, then when they do get it, it's going to be good, and you're going to end up actually enjoying it more because all of those impressions that you had earlier are going to be wiped away by the fact that you see this incredible satisfaction on their face that they finally finally got that f***er.
I went on my first date with Carla about 14 years and 2 months ago. And as of this October, we'll be hitting our 10-year wedding anniversary. Now, if tomorrow I come home from work and I have a business card with a woman's name and a phone number on it, and she sees it and says, "What is this?" And I say, "Oh, that's the number of a coworker that I need to pick up on my way to work tomorrow because her car is broken down," she would believe me. Why would she believe me? Well, because in being together for 14 years, there's not been a pattern of lies. I've never cheated on her, etc., etc. You see, there is trust. The problem with f***ing players is no matter what you do, no matter how long you've been in the game, they never, ever, ever trust their GMs. And I'm not talking about these scheming GMs who are looking for that excuse to TPK.
We're not condoning f***ing your players, by the way. I just wanted to put that in there real quick.
We're not condemning it either, though.
That's true. We're just, we're
not taking a stance
we're
on
true
it.
Neutral.
We're condoning-emming it.
Yes. Just and to proceed.
Please. We need more information about whether we can condone.
Yes, I'm going to research this in depth. I'm going to plumb to the bottoms of it and get to figure out the whole sticky icky on everything that's going on here. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you, Pat. I want to be sure you come to a conclusion.
Yes, I definitely will. Probably so, multiple
conclusions. Reach a climax, Pat.
Yes.
But I swear, despite the fact that my GMing career, I have had things that include the big bad dying in the very first sitting, them using role play to convert the big bad to helping them instead of fighting them getting away with technological items I specifically had my notes I didn't want them getting, showed them said notes, and yet they still got them literally within the first game. I always roll my dice above the table, and whenever I cheat, it's always in their favor. There have been several Battletech games now, I can think of at least two off the top of my head, where even though it was pretty implausible, because they made the rolls and because the right numbers were there, my players have taken down two assault level battle mechs with personal arms. And yet, for some reason, my players do not trust me. Let me give you the most recent example. I'm going to call out John again. We were playing an Epoch of Rysos game. They were on board a ship. They were supposed to take over the ship because the ship was a slave ship. And the reason that they were on is they were put on there posing as slaves with the idea that they were supposed to figure out where this handoff was occurring so the authorities could come in and do something about it. But even though they were like in stasis chambers, the intelligence agents that they were working for like slipped, you know, equipment and weapons into concealed places and whatever. So when they woke up, you know, the crew had a hell of a surprise because they had an armed contingent now doing a mutiny. Well, partway through this, the ship that they're supposed to make the drop with shows up. A bunch of stuff goes sideways. Don't want to get into a huge long gaming story here. And the ship they're on gets shot down and it crashes into a lake on the planet below. Okay. Everybody on board survives, or at least most of them survived. A couple of the ship's crew might have died, but the vast majority of people on there survived. And they get off the ship and kind of agree, okay, we've all got a shared problem here. So they make it to shore. And at this point, a very heavily armed contingent from this third ship comes over to them and starts threatening them and saying all kinds of crap to them. And John says there's one of them pulled a gun. And the captain of the other ship, this third party ship, said, "I wouldn't do that because we've got mortar teams right over there on the opposite shore." And immediately throws up his hands and goes, "Well, yeah, of course they do. You know, like I'm just cock blocking his every move." Now, the truth was, one, the guy was full of shit. And two, this group was actually playing hard beyond their real abilities, because what the group did not know was there was another, a fourth warship lurking in orbit that was actually threatening them, which is why they were trying to take sudden control of the situation and all the available resources. Point being, what this guy claimed is not what was going on. The party was not being railroaded. This was not a no-win scenario. I did not have them hemmed in on every side. But at the first inkling that that might be the case, instantly that's what I'm guilty of. And Wayne, when you talk about that perception, I think it is certainly fair that the GM needs to watch the messages they are sending. One of the big weaknesses I have as a game master is not with the NPCs in terms of their power, but it's the plot clues. The plot clues are oftentimes far more obvious to me than they are to my players, and I need to work on that, on ways of making them more obvious without spoon-feeding them. That's, I'll fully admit, my problem. Strong-arming the players onto a railroad is not my problem as a GM, and has not been in a very, very, I mean, like 15 to 20 years long time. And yet, for some reason, that perception is there the minute the players even think there's a hint of it. All that trust, all those years of gaming together just suddenly don't matter. And this is like it's the first time they've ever encountered me.
The funny thing is I have the opposite problem of I think all the players trust me. I just don't trust myself. I keep asking myself, am I railroading them?
Well, and this is where
and the answer is always no, and I can argue myself out of it. But there's just that self-doubt.
And mark this on your calendars, but Chris is right. Whether their perceptions are valid or invalid, you can look at the table and typically get a sense of what they think. Are they getting frustrated? I mean, if you as a game master care enough to want that answer, it's not real hard to find. Because you can see it in their expressions, you can see it in their body language, you can see it when they suddenly quit declaring actions because they feel like their actions don't matter. And if you still don't get it at the table, give it a couple days and then shoot somebody an email and say, hey, are you feeling frustrated by this guy? Do you feel I'm not making a plot, I'm just throwing obstructions in your path? Because I've played under GMs that do that. They don't have a plot, they just have a series of obstructions, which is really irritating, by the way. But the point is you care enough to ask those things. And you know what? I was able to read, now this is an online game, so there was no table per se to read, but I was able to pretty quickly read my players in the Epoch of Rhysos game. Now, their analysis of the situation was entirely incorrect, but nonetheless, I at least knew where they were. I knew what they were feeling, and it was at that point that I decided, okay, no matter how wrong they are, they're feeling irritated, and leaving them irritated is not going to help anyone. So I sped up that reveal. The reveal that this guy was bluffing and actually under a lot of threat himself, I got that reveal onto the table a whole lot faster than I intended to because of the fact I could tell they were having a reaction to it.
I've actually moved up reveals before because I was thinking the same thing, that the players were struggling to find the next clue. So I've made reveals happen a little earlier. You mentioned rolling dice above the table. I found it funny as you were saying it. I've never actually fudged a dice roll. I've fudged their stats. I roll everything above the table. People can see it. It's the same end result.
You know, it's just probably it's the same thing.
It's the exact same thing, except I've done it on stats.
I rolled a dice and somehow a 19 out of a deal on a d20 just still wasn't a hit. Yeah, I mean, it's
there's a sudden circumstance modifier which reduces the die roll. But you know, I think part of the problem that you're suffering from, Wayne, first of all, it's not necessarily unique, but I think what happens is in so many groups, early days of gaming, they get into certain modes of behavior without even realizing it in regards to how their PCs interact with NPCs that they end up fighting. And certain internal patterns and internal monologues kind of develop as to how the course of this action should really play out. And then when it doesn't happen that way, several months, years, whatever, down the road, and things suddenly are not working out with how they internalize and are internally thinking it's going to work out, then that's when their own internal frustration starts kicking in, and it might show a little bit on their face because all of a sudden something's not fitting properly in their head as far as what they're thinking. They may completely and absolutely trust you, but some of those old reactions to things that shouldn't be happening start coming up. And I think that in a certain way, becoming a victim of those kinds of perceptions.
Yeah. And I think you're right on that one as well. I mean, when a lot of people start out gaming, the game master is very uncertain. The players are very energetic. And what this often leads to is both sides are paranoid of the other because the players are rambunctious. The GM doesn't know how to control them. And you end up with a very adversarial relationship. And unfortunately, for some groups, that never ends. For most groups, they grow out of that. But for some groups, that never ends because the GM still gets off on the idea that while I'm going to be fair, I am the mechanism of your doom. And if you want to play away, whatever. I think it's terrible, but more power to you.
Well, and then you add the other player at the table, the dice.
Yes.
And sometimes there's a struggle for me to tell, is this player frustrated because of the events happening, or is this player frustrated because they roll like I do? Mm-hmm. Using Pat as an example, okay. I remember one day Pat is rolling horribly and isn't able to hit throughout the entire combat, and I see the frustration growing on him to where when it comes to time for his round, it's, I can just imagine him saying, I don't care what I do. It's not going to work anyway. Well, yeah. Here.
And Wayne, this is where I came to one of my other conclusions, which I left that little mnemonic for myself in the show note area where I said players live in the moment. When I go to see a movie, I might know who the director was or who the writer was for the script. I can almost guarantee I saw the trailer. And so as I'm watching that movie, you know, there may be things I'm kind of like, eh, I don't know where they're going with this. It looks kind of BS, but I'll see where it goes. Mm. Or I know something else has to happen here because I saw a scene in the trailer where this character was doing something to this character. So surely there's got to be more to this, whatever. But the point is that I give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm the same way with books. There are books I have quit reading, not because I got distracted, but because the books were just absolutely insufferably terrible. But usually I keep pushing through to the end because I give the books a fair chance. Because I am thinking as a reader or as a moviegoer, as a TV show consumer, whatever, about the fact that there's something bigger going on here. But I have noticed that players almost universally, myself included, seem to exist in the moment. And I don't know if this has to do with the fact that RPGs are so participatory. I don't know if it has to do with some of those formative experiences we have. But we really, when we play, at least by my observations, we don't think a whole lot about, well, what happened leading up to this. And we don't think a whole lot about, okay, how does this fit into what I know about so-and-so as a game master? Or is it possible that I'm misinterpreting the plot because I'm intentionally being misled? All we see is I'm not rolling well, every move I make the villain counters, blah, blah, blah. Therefore, I am frustrated. And that leads the GM, I think, to sometimes be very, very hypersensitive about themselves because of the fact that they're being judged not on the game, but on the moment.
I do the same thing. I sometimes forget, which is sad because one of the things I love about role-playing games as a player is I love the big reveals. I love when something happens in, let's say, game session 12 that harkens back to something that happened in session 2. When those threads, you know, come back, those are the highlights of gaming for me are things like that, where all the pieces start to fall together. And as a player, I had the same thing. It's I get frustrated because I roll so poorly. As a GM, it just means my players are incredibly effective. It doesn't matter what we're playing. They're going to do pretty well because I'm going to roll pretty bad.
The reverse thing, man. I can't roll for crap as a GM, but when I'm playing, it's, man, straight aces all the way. But, you know, and I've done this myself. I'm not letting myself off the hook here.
It's funny. At the table, the players will move the dice around to make sure that nobody's using dice that I've touched. I've watched my wife take the dice away from Dawn. It's like, no, Wayne, touch those. Use these.
Do you wash your hands after using the bathroom? Because if not, the luck thing may be a cover story. Yes. Given the fact that you talk about you take everything else into the bathroom.
I've never taken dice into the bathroom except for the dice that came out of soap.
Fair enough. But anyway, let's go back to our oft-mentioned campaign with Sir William and Saren and Narl. That was a great campaign. It's one of the reasons we talk about it so often. It was a great campaign, and there were a lot of things in there that were mined and probably still can be mined for things about role-playing games. I mean, holy crap, it was a complicated campaign with a lot of moving parts, a lot of things done extremely well, and some things that went wrong.
Well, I say that's a perfect example of a time where I, as a player, was living in the moment and got frustrated with an NPC. Chad's talked about how I killed Avaro, his favorite NPC, and I killed him because my character and me as a player was frustrated because he couldn't get an answer out of him.
And for me, it was a different moment, but there was a moment where Chad did something that I really disagreed with. It made me pretty freaking angry, and it really soured me on the whole campaign. I was at a point where it's like, man, do I even want to come back to this? I was really thinking about ditching my character. I was really thinking about just sitting out for the rest of the campaign. But you know what? I was stuck there in that moment. I was angry about that one thing, and I wasn't taking into account, never mind the fact that we had been having an excellent campaign up to that point. One bad thing happened, and suddenly I'm off on this bender of mine. And taking this back to your original question about a GM's perception of self, I think GMs need to self-examine. And I think that GMs ought to do their self-examination with some kind of a sounding board, because we as human beings, look, in some ways we're our own worst critics, in other ways we're our own worst apologists. We will come up with excuses for the things we're doing wrong or rationalizations for things we're doing wrong, and we'll overthink things we're doing right. Get a sounding board. Get a player that you trust to sit there and talk with you about it outside of a game and see how you're doing. Certainly self-examine. But at the same time, I think there does come a point where, yes, you have to take what your players are saying into account because it's a group experience and everybody's fun is important. But you also do have to accept that just as you have your own myopathy, you have your own blinders on, so do they. You know, and I don't think if I was to sit John down and maybe I'll ask him this next time he's on the mics, he would ever say that I'm an abusive GM where I'm just constantly clowning people with the NPCs. Why did he have that reaction in that moment? Well, I mean, I'm not going to speak on his behalf. He can tell you for himself. But the point is, what he was worried about is not characteristic of me. And so I think on the flip side, you also have to have some confidence in yourself to not take everything you hear too seriously, because a lot of times it's reaction to an incident. It's not reaction to a trend.
You know, you mentioned a sounding board, and that's something I've actually been missing lately. When it comes to things like that, I do talk to the players a lot, and I know I've shared both with Pat, with Beth, with Sarah, my concern of, is this character in this instance? I haven't done it with any of the others I've worried about, but in this instance, I've shared that concern. Is this coming off like it's a Baron von Badass? And they've all assured me that no, not at all. Everything seems to make sense. But what I used to have for anytime I was running was, story-wise, I would go home and I'd run things by my wife. She's in the group now. I can't do that.
It's funny, when you were first talking about this at the beginning of the session, that's exactly what I was thinking, is because you hit on a point that is very important that I think all GMs need to consider, and both of you did, is the fact that, I think maybe even Chris said it too, so Chris, this is your night, buddy. Yay. Go talk to Julia real quick.
Tree-fitty.
I'm telling you. Go play the numbers and go talk to Julia. You need to do it right now. Anyway, the point that you brought up was that you know what the story is. So to you, everything is completely obvious in terms of your plot points that you're laying out, the breadcrumbs that you're putting out there. Those things are just, to you, it's obvious it all fits together. You know what it is. Whereas on the flip side of it, we don't. And sometimes what happens is the stuff that you think is well-crafted and completely obvious, we're just not going to get it because we just don't see it, because we just don't have the same frame of reference or whatever. And having somebody that you can talk to would be invaluable. Like you said, you could talk to Sarah. If you could talk to somebody who was outside of the game, I've done that for people before. They've come up with, you know, plot ideas either for writing or for gaming, and that's something you can do.
I admit, I actually have come home before after a game, before she was in the group, and been like, okay, hon, here's what I'm planning. Does this make me a dick? And usually her answer before I'll even start explaining is, yes, it does.
Yes.
Now, what are you planning on doing?
Right. I mean, because she knows. And this whole thing of, you know, I will be honest, I'm going to go ahead and lay this out there because the audience, they're thinking it. I know they are, and I'm going to put it out there for them because that's what they count on me to do. This whole thing of sharing, this whole bullshit GM sharing with selected players, going out there and talking and say, hey, guy, you don't think I'm being a douchebag by doing this, are you? I'm not you know, trying to make things too hard, am I? And that's just a total red herring. Being the pessimist that I am, I know it's total bullshit. And you're just doing that to try to back down a little bit so that you can just blindside us with it. It's an easy way for you to go out there and just and make the Baron von Badass and make him an impossible character, because the perception is that, hey, I don't want to do this, guys. And it's all cool, right?
So you think
it's total bullshit.
So you think it's kind of like when a doctor says, this will just pinch a little?
Exactly. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. So there you go. F*** you, Wayne. And f*** you too, Dan. F*** your NPCs and their mortars.
Ah, well, it's so great to have these guys back. As for you guys at home, have a great week and great games. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, we will catch you next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2014. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.